views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing.
Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave, from LA, coming to you live from FEMA region number 6. Today is a Thursday. It is June the 28th, 2018, almost said 17, and we have a live show for you today. Just want to thank you all for listening. At any time, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056. 704-802-5056 is what would like you to call in and chime in. Today's going to be a little different. We're not going to do too much of what's in the news. I definitely got to get into today's show. But I just want to say big ups to my man Raz for posting all of the articles that you posted there. Go to BTR Community, become a member, check out the postings. The only place that I post is inside of Black Talk Radio Network. BTR is what it is. BTRcommunity.com is what it is. So definitely do that. And everyone, we must continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. And you can do that by giving some financial energy to the network by way of donations. This will keep the network on air and will keep its holistic goals, its holistic ideologies, and its holistic direction in the grassroots that it was created from, that being where it is here as a platform for you, the everyday person. So in order for that to happen, we must support this network and make sure that it has the financial wherewithal to stay on air. And that can only happen from those of you that benefit and that listen to the network, and anyone else that would like to ensure that a platform such as this will continue to grow and continue to have a place in the large environment, in the large community of the media outlets, alternative news or alternative media, or however you would like to classify it. This is a platform that definitely needs to maintain and grow and to move into its full fruition, that being the overall voice of those that didn't have a voice or a different energy than those that have been energizing a great demise. So that can only happen with your donations, because it's not receiving any corporate sponsorship, because it does not actually perpetuate the overall standard and objectives and methods of the system itself. So please give some of your financial energy. All donations are greatly appreciated, regardless of their size. Okay. Also, once again, as I was talking about BTR Community, that's another way that you can support the network, by being a member there for $24 a year. With that $24 a year, you can actually engage in social media activities without your identity being sold, your identity being screened and compromised for someone else's agenda whatever it may be, and also you can use the platform to, within reason, to promote yourself, your business, and things that you think need to have more public awareness or public attention or scrutiny. That is where you can do it for $24 a year. That's an annual fee of only $24. That will support the network as well and maintain the overall community. So please do that at www.btrcommunity.com. Okay. Also, if you'd like to acquire real money, definitely go to Prosperity Mint, full service precious metals dealership, where you can exchange your cash for real money, a savings. And let me just tell you, here's why that's so important. I want you to think about this. If you use cars as an investment, if you use jewelry as an investment, those are forms of investments, but they are not the one that you should be saving in. Why? Because there's liability in all of those. If you buy a car, let's say from 1970, well, usually you're going to have to put some capital into it, some more investment other than just acquiring it. You may have to fix it up and everything else. And then you have to wait for a return on it, and that may be speculative. You could get a return on it, or you may not. But there's also liabilities of maintaining it. It's a liability. And so in order to keep it in optimum investment opportunity, you have to maintain it. Also with jewelry, you can buy expensive jewelry. I'll just say this. You can acquire some really, really expensive jewelry. Let's say a tennis bracelet, really, really nice tennis bracelet, or some other form of jewelry, or you can buy a home, okay? These are not the same type of investment as you would get from the precious metals. The precious metals gives you the opportunity, to have a better return, okay, because it's a store of value. Even though cars can be a store of value, they can never reach the store of value that precious metals can. Jewelry can't either. A tennis bracelet can't do it. A home can't do it. Here's why that's so significant. If you are to, and what you all should be doing, you should be saving in real money, precious metals. If you buy, let's say, just a hypothetical, give you gold. Let's say you purchase gold at $1,500 for an ounce, okay? Now, well, let's say you purchased gold back in 2004. It was in 2004, if my memory serves correctly, it was right around $847. Don't quote me on it, but I think I remember it being that around 2004. Could be around that, 800 or something, or 2002, 2003 is around that number, $847. Well, if you bought 1 ounce of gold at $847 in 2004, you wouldn't have to maintain it, you wouldn't have to clean it, you wouldn't have to do anything to it. Just by you holding it, okay, if for some unforeseen reason you had an emergency, and if you had to redeem it today, you would be getting around, depending on where you go and what it is, about $1,300 for it. Now, take that car, for example. You would have spent gas and everything else, a bunch of liabilities. You have to factor that into everything. When it comes to the real money, it has no liabilities. It has no liabilities at all. Once you acquire it, it's a store of value. In the 80s, when I picked up some silver coins and silver dollars, silver quarters and silver dimes. Today, those quarters and dimes are valued at much, much more, or has a redemption value of much, much more than what I paid. And not only that, it saved the overall investment that I purchased it with in cash. Another clear example of how that works is, if let's say you bought a tennis bracelet in 2000, and then for some unforeseen reason you didn't like it anymore, you wanted to liquidate it. Let's say you spent $5,000 for it, or let's say you, on cost per dollar average, you spent $847 on it, just like you did the ounce of gold. Okay, well, if you were to try to to exchange it for currency, for emergency or whatever you needed to, or you didn't like it, you wanted to upgrade, guess what they would give you for that diamond tennis bracelet now? Probably not even $100. Not even $100. But guess what they would have to give you for that ounce of gold? Around $1,300. See the difference? And this is some of the things that the system does not want you to know. It doesn't want you to know the power of real money. The power of real money. So definitely you should be saving in what is not going to be a depreciating instrument. Okay? So very, very important. Even if you did a home, you have to put in everything. You have to factor in everything that you spent on that home, fixing this, fixing that, the upkeep of it, the heating, everything else. All of that gets factored in. That doesn't get excluded. This is why these are some of the things that they don't want you to know about the precious metals and why it's so important. Okay? So definitely, if you are interested in that, check out the website for Prosperity Mint, then email info@prosperitymint.com. Tell them you're a Tando radio show listener and someone will get with you because they want to, so they can explain the buying process and why they're so relevant. If you don't do it, somebody else will do it, and there's only a finite of the precious metals, and the significance of them are going to be really increasing. I'm going to pick this back up tomorrow. Very, very important show. Tomorrow on Financial Friday, you definitely want to be there. And these are some of the things you may think you know, but there's a whole lot more that has been hidden from us, the general population, intentionally. And that is very, very important. You know, there's the old biblical, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But you got to read the whole passage all the way through. It says, because thou hast rejected knowledge, meaning that the knowledge came to you and you rejected it, as I was saying, nah, I don't need that, that's not important. So, got you, Scotty, no B.I.B. today. So, got you, Scotty. So, very, very, very important. Okay, so we're going to, I want to jump into today's show. Anytime you'd like to get in on the conversation, give us a call, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. In today's show, I just want to pick out a couple of things in what's in the news because I want to really get into today's show. Very important. Seeding the civil and global war purge in the next 3 to 5 years. We'll come back to that in a second. And next article, first article I posted from Strategic Culture. Most countries are, move this down. Most countries are starting to exploring alternatives to the U.S. world order. Very, very important. Russia, China, and Iran will offer to Japan and Turkey development and mutual gains in order to accelerate the replacement of the U.S. as the central player in these two countries' international relationships. Very, very important. Check out that. Next article. And this is something that I definitely is going to be a part of today's show. And I don't know if you all can hear me because let me – 1 second. My man, Rod. All right. So let me get back to what's in the news. All right. So – sorry about that. Second article, thetollonline.com. When running from the devil, you better be faster than hell. Very, very important article. We're going to be a part of today's show. Then I want to skip down to a couple of articles that Roz had posted. There's a lot of good articles. This one is from the alternative media. Roz posted, U.S. official accuse Iran of violating UN Security Council resolutions. Check out that article. It's all coming. They're going to try to use that. And then the next article, and I'm skipping through because I had a bunch of articles and Roz had a bunch of articles, but today's show is very, very important. And this one came from Big Ups. Thank you, Otis, for sending me what you sent to me. I saw it, and then Roz posted it as well. China increases its defense ties with Africa. China says this will increase its military presence in Africa. Check out that article, and that was by our brother Otis posted and sent that one to us. And then there was also from the Asian Times, U.S. and South Korea Alliance in the Spotlight, Amidst Shifting Landscape. Check out that. And then Rise also posted from the Asian Times, Indian ruble crashes to all-time low of 69 against the U.S. dollar. Okay, so a couple of other things, and then we're going to jump into today's show because we have to. And Rise posted this South China Morning Post, Yuan in free fall as Beijing arms itself for trade war with the U.S. Check out that one. And I'm just got to get to it. And let me see. There was a very, very important article. Oh, this was an important article. This from Mint Press. Rise posted this. Nobel Peace Prize nominee Joel Davis arrested for child pornography. Check out that article. It's all, you know, those pedophiles are everywhere. And there was the article that I posted, five killed and others wounded at Maryland newspaper shooting, has a lot to do with today's show. All right, so I want to hurry up and jump into today's show because I want to spend some time here. Very significant, and I want to start off by saying if you'd like to get in on the conversation anytime, give us a call, 704-802-5056. Today's show on June the 28th, I didn't put the date in for today, is the seeding the civil and global war purge in the next 3 years. This is going to be a couple of part series, and we need to start here, where it's going to be the seeding. We'll go to the global war paradigm, and this thing is really heating up and some very significant moves. One of the moves that I want to say, and I'll reiterate it, was the couple of stories down, there was a German frigate, and you have to right click it for English. There was a German frigate that actually was doing some exercises near Norway, and it's one of his missile launchers, with the missile exploded inside of the pod and caused some relatively significant damage to the overall frigate. And this was done, and the actual missile was from Raytheon. And These types of things, and this isn't the only thing, and I'm going to carry this in the global side of things. There are a lot of things that are happening. And now I wouldn't be surprised if Germany pulls back all of its frigates and tries to replace and fix the problem that they had. And I'm going to tell you what I think the problem is. Ladies and gentlemen, what happened in World War I and World War II is displaying itself right now. And I wouldn't be surprised if that was a cyber incident or a virus. Well, it would be a cyber incident that actually was the culprit in that. And who would do that, and look at who would best gain from that. And this isn't the first time that Germany has had some real major problems. We're going to explore that in the overall global war of this section, and that probably will be part two. And this is all coming to head and reasons why we and you need to prepare. Okay, so just wanted to say that. Now, the Civil War, there's definitely a civil war that's being seeded. And it's not just a civil war of what we all think the civil war has been displayed as in the past. It's going to be that and some. It's going to be the civil war of homes, civil war of family members, civil war of friends, civil war of colleagues, civil war of neighborhoods, of cities, of states, and of regions. This is all being seeding is being seeding as a proxy war right now. And it is this is why you have all of these mass shootings, and I want to go over some of that in today's show. But I want to pick this up. There was a great article, let me just get ready for it. There was a great article that I want to get into the shootings, and then I want to bring some to your attention, some truth to your attention, and so that you can think about and see how serious things are, and to engage in this with the proper energy. And I think that's very, very important, because there are reasons why we prepare. And my thing is, I thought it was always important for me to give you the reasons why, and what you do with that is up to you. And so I got it. OG, thank you so much about the shooting. Yes, I posted it inside of Tando. And yes, I'm aware of it, and that's going to be a part of the show. Thank you for keeping me abreast. And so we need to take a look at, and there's an article that I want to go over with you, and then go over some of the things and have open discussion and give you some of the things that I think, and I would love to hear what you think about this and the importance of it all. There's an article that was written by Doug Glenn, and it says, when running from the devil, you better be faster than hell. And it starts off, I want to go through a couple of things in it. Let me just get squared away here. And before I do that, so that I don't, excuse me, pull this thing up. And I think it's very significant because we are definitely, definitely moving towards a destabilization. And it's going to, at first I thought it was just going to be the purge of the world purging itself from the United States. But no, there is actually going to be a purge, in my opinion, from within what we commonly refer to as the United States. Because right now there is a complete violence and a complete civil war campaign that's being fought. And how you do that is that you do it in multifaceted ways. Poverty is one. And the U.S. right now has some of the worst poverty, you wouldn't expect it, but it's the truth, in the world. And it's being perpetuated by choice. And it's so bad that the U.S. also wanted to leave the U.N., human rights, excuse me, not human rights, when they left the, give me one second, within the U.N., the overall, one second, doggone it. Yes, it was when the U.S. left last month, last week, the human rights section of the U.N. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
Yeah, I was going.
There was a reason why.
Yeah, I was just going to confirm that it was the Human Rights Council, which they have not consistently been a part of. Their history, and I'm talking about USA Inc. history with that body, is very, very, very mixed. But, you know, that's the nature of USA Inc. It can change little subtle, you know, differences on how they deal with the world with each CEO, new CEO. But usually their main agendas remain the same. You know, like people want to act like Donald Trump is doing something new and different. No, he just might be intensifying what was already being done, you know. And
exactly.
But yeah, it was the UN, and they cited the UN report calling for an investigation into the shootings of the Palestinians and saying that, oh, they just picking on Israel and all this and that. So under totally false pretenses. But it's not like they were sincere. And, you know, that the UN has problems itself. You know what I'm saying? We all know that.
Of course.
But the United States is just being a hypocrite and trying to act like, you know, that, we're taking offense to them lying. They ain't lying on Israel. They ain't lying on the poverty here. They ain't lying on the human rights abuses here. They ain't lying about that. It is what it is.
Nope.
And that's like, you know, some people don't take these moves serious, Dave. In your opinion, these little acts like that can mean something down the road. That's to me.
Oh, huge.
Yeah, just to me, that's Donald Trump signaling, or let me rephrase that. The Trump administration, the current executive branch right now is saying human rights don't matter to us. Hell, constitutional rights don't matter. Civil rights don't matter. Don't nobody rights matter. we'll do what the hell we want to do. Ain't that how he acting?
That's exactly, and it is, and it's actually going to have a global effect in everything that Scotty was saying. I fully in agreement with. And one of the things that was very important is that the UN had a new report, a special report, citing that the U.S. has one of the highest rates of income because it has 40 million people living in poverty and 18.5 million in extreme poverty and 5.3 million living in third world conditions. And this is being manipulated and orchestrated for a reason. And the U.S. wanted to get out of this because of it. They use that as a political stunt, but they knew that what the report was going to be coming out and what the report was going to be saying, and it was actually going to bring the world to notice what some of the things is going on in the U.S. And if they actually scrutinize it even further, they'll see it's far, far worse. So what do? They pull out of it and try to ostracize the overall whole committee. And they use the Palestinian situation, as was said, which is true, as an excuse, because they plan on something happening even further. There was a buddy of mine, and I didn't get to post it, some of the migrants from America from Central America, they're having 3-year-olds having to represent themselves in court for deportation and in the overall immigration courts. 3-year-olds. It's all a setup. And that's a setup not so much just of them, but it's a setup for it's going to be the overall policies and the procedures that's going to perpetuate itself to a much bigger scale that will encompass and capture us all. Throwing out the net, and they're going to start reeling it in. And I will say this as before we move further into the show, very, very important. Very, very important that we understand this before we go further in this show, because we're going to be talking about some things that I think is very significant. Before we go further in this show, we have to be careful of how we respond to this, and we have to be careful of what we engage in this, because when we play by their rules, they're going to allow us to play by their rules. They're going to bring us into their rules. But here's the thing. They're going to allow you to come in, and then they're going to kill you with experience. That's why this system is opening itself up, and it's going to be opening itself up to civil war, regional wars, global war, then global nuclear war one, because they have the experience of being efficient killers. They have the experience of setting up proxy wars, false flags, conditions and environments that destabilize, anger, cause people to actually respond out of perilous conditions, cause people to respond in a way that they would not respond if the conditions and the circumstances weren't as threatening. They're causing people to respond from violence, because it's a very violent method and objective that's being sprung forward. And it's huge, and it may not look as the way that they schooled us to see violence and to see certain things, but they have the experience of doing this for so long, and that's how they're going to kill us.
Hey, Dave, check this out, experience. Man. I don't know if you saw the story in Annapolis, the newspaper up there, newsroom, a gunman went in there and gunned them people down. And just 2 days ago, that man that goes by the name of Milo Yiannopoulos, or however you say his name, who's a homosexual, a white supremacist, and an admitted pedophile. And he said he put that out on Twitter. And getting back to you know, their methods and what have you, these officials know exactly what they're doing. They have manipulated the white peasant class for a very long time to engage in acts of violence against people that the government of white supremacy has deemed their enemies. So, you know, Trump been demonizing the media. I put out a video the other day showing where David Clark was telling people to go punch these reporters in the nose. Then 2 days ago, this dude's saying he can't wait for vigilantes to start taking out reporters.
Yes.
And now this guy goes up in a newsroom and shoots four people.
It's all a part of the proxy war. This is clandestine operations. And Scotty, that's exactly where
there's
I wanted to
take
this.
There's a lot of useful idiots out there that just on a person's word will go out there and murder somebody, man, you know, for all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm. For all the wrong reasons, but under the right conditions. And this is going to definitely gain momentum to where it will be at your door, will be within your home in some form, shape, or fashion. It will be a condition in an environment, in a crisis, in a chaotic situation that you will have to respond to be in a position of advantage. When you do. So there's this article. This article is, when running from the devil, you better be fast. You better be faster than hell. And the article is by Douglas Lynn. Let me pull it up. I had it. Here it goes. And these sentiments, it says this, and this is a quote from Benjamin Franklin. In these sentiments, sir, I agree to this Constitution with all of its faults. If they are such, because think a general government necessary for us, and there is no form of government, but what may be a blessing to the people if well administered, and believe further that this is likely to be well administrated for courses of years and can only end deprivation in other forms and have as it has done before it, when the people shall become so corrupt as to need a government being incapable of any other. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. John Adams. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. Very significant, of any other. Of any other. And I would say that, in my opinion, the Constitution in itself was completely flawed for what we think the Constitution gave a hedge of protection. It did not. It was moral for a religious group of people that had nothing to do with you and had no alignment to you at all. Their overall objective and their overall constructing of this had you not in mind as being a benevolent or a beneficiary of it, but actually being subjugated by it. Our Constitution is made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. and they tell you. But see, we have to learn the language and what they mean. And this article goes on. It was John Adams' quote. I'm of the opinion, this is the article from Lynn. I'm of the opinion that many today are throwing out the baby with the bathwater when they claim the conservative versus the liberal, right versus left. Construction is phony or bogus. Conservatives have lost political ground because they have accepted the moral premise of the political left. However, liberals use deception to hide their real motives while stimulating blackmailing conservatives by means of conservative values. How typical was the mainstream media poor immigrant children narrative that played the emotional heartstrings of dummies everywhere like violins? In the immigration debate, as in the gun control, liberals don't actually care for the children, or at least not in the ways they profess. They instead callously use the children as a means to consolidate their political power. And let me just say this. A lot of this article I don't relate to, I don't agree with, but I understand what some of it I do, and it's very, very significant. And what's really being said is that those that are actually who we think is for us in the overall celebrity figurehead, they have agendas. And they are actually perpetuating an agreement, and they have consideration on both sides to be able to create an environment that a government would be necessary. That's their objective, not to serve you, not to bring anything beneficial to you, but to bring the matter of necessity that you need us. And the moment that we figure those types of basic things out, the moment that we look at this in skepticism, the moment we no longer believe, no longer we give, have faith in, no longer that we give energy to, the moment that we decide that, you know what, you've been lying, and every time they speak is a lie, and everything that they do is by deceptive measures. When we have that type of response to them, then that is healthy for us to be able to distinguish the truth and start to move in a different direction. Because the one that we've been on, that we didn't create, we actually were actually domesticated into it, or conscripted into it, and then we just perpetuated it, is not really who we are and what we really want to do. And I'm talking about, in my opinion, for the masses. And it's very important that we look at the true nature of this beast and not underestimate it or give it any standing, any moral standing, any standing of confidence. And believe me, give not an ounce of faith to it, else that faith will actually be turned as poison against us. The article goes on. This explains why the liberals never rejoice for the offsprings of the lawless invaders who Trump signed the executive order to keep illegal immigrants and their families out. Instead, they claim Trump caved before the manufactured humanity and political crisis, and that's why children still attend schools in gun-free zones while anti-gun protest David Hodge is protesting by armed guards. Because he is more important than the children now. The political left consistently weaponized the morals of the conservative against the conservatives. And when those are on the right of the political spectrum accepting the moral premise of the deceptive left, the progressive agenda moves forward. And I would just say all of that is hogwash. There is no moral solution. There is no political answer to moral abatement. They are all both equally worthless because they both work not for you. These individuals and the government itself is so disconnected from you that you have nothing in common with them, and they definitely don't want to have anything in common with you.
Hey, Dave,
other than you serve them.
Just paying attention to how he called people names. When people just slap labels on you. Now, you know, we do identify ourselves by legitimate labels, and that's just to let people know what, you know, what type of, for example, what type of denomination I may go to. I may call myself a Baptist, or I may call myself Episcopalian, but when you start talking about these political labels and stuff, he talking like a gang member who is talking about his rival gang, and they start talking about that left-right paradigm and all that. Look, man, it either come down to this. Either something is just or it's unjust, and there's no debate about that. We all should know what justice looks like and what evil looks like, but there are people who want to muddy the waters.
Yep, and that's their job. That's their whole job here, and that's what they do. And to actually divide and to get everyone. This is the proxy. This is the building of the proxy war. And it's done by having the overall sides drawn up and not the interests, not the interest, the common interest of people magnetically attracting to each other. And it's so true. So true. And I want to hurry up. Let me get through this real quick. Here we go. Because there's something that's very important in these types of articles, because they hide some of the truth and what the agenda has in store. Nevertheless, the value systems of conservatives and liberals are separate. This is why the words like freedom and rights hold different meanings for each group. An example of the former, freedom and rights manifest as an outward growth of the natural law as defined in the whispers of John Locke, and latter in the process, in the process accord to Machiavellianism. The commonality of globalists, neocons, corrupt government officials, tyrant collectives, is demonstrated when they profess the moral superiority of the ideological position in stimulating the timeless moral principles for their own benefit while telling us it's for ours. This is the heart of the matter. This is why so-called decent Americans voted for Trump. Flaws and all, he was elected in protest. I had a friend text me the following rant that he saw on Facebook. And let me just say this about celebrity figurehead Trump. Celebrity figurehead Trump was never elected. It was actually selected. And it was selected for a reason. And the reasons is to maintain the overall global governing sovereign government paradigm. That's why. Because they've never ever, doesn't matter which side it was. See, what goes on behind closed doors, they have committees and the secrets, and they have their briberies that we don't know about. We just know about when they go before the camera and the overall, because everyone that's on camera in the political realm is reading a script. And where the good people are, and where the people that really do want, that are sincere and having a benevolent agenda for all, they never make it on camera, because that's not the overall objectives of the mass media tool. It's to actually propagandize, legitimize, legalize, and authorize is paying sponsors' agenda. And who's the paying sponsor? Someone that has nothing in common with you. Like these, the politicians, they have nothing in common with their constituents at all. They don't go to the parties you go to. They don't shop where you shop. They don't have identity to you at all, other than when they go before you in the political realm of deception to say that they need your vote. They really don't need your vote. They've already been selected by what they will be willing to compromise and do against you. That's what gets them selected. That's what gets them this office space. That's the pledge they take. But let me go on, because it's something that's very, very important. Let me just go down, skip down. We live in a land populated by the people of Walmart, sustained by steady diets of fake news, fake processed food, electronic fairy tales, antidepressants. The trend are pointing towards war and global depopulation. Exactly. The technocrats' elite's desire, and right on schedule. Any attempt to divert from those outcomes will be akin to a flea trying to steer a dog like a horse. The D.C. chapter of the Democratic Society of America shared a video on Facebook of activists booing and yelling at Homeland Security Nielsen at the Mexican restaurant and calling her to abolish the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE. A year later, the congressional basketball shooting that almost took the life of Representative Steve Scalise and former House staff member Matt Micah, member of Congress, expressed concerns that their safety as a threat against them has skyrocketed. A plan to split California into three separate states earned a spot on the November ballot there. And because, And because there was simply not enough D.C. police or Virginia or Maryland to protect Trump official at their homes when they got, you're talking about some, no, that's not right. Let me see this. My article, hold on, one sec. So sorry, my daggone internet kicks out. Okay, here we go. Stop moving. Okay. And screaming, God is on our side, California Congresswoman Maxine Waters implored her supporters to harass Trump administration officials in public space. The mainstream media has been engaging in an effort to turn Trump supporters into public enemy number one. And now even politicians are warning of this forthcoming civil war. Have you ever cautioned someone over the inevitable consequences only to have them blaze ahead anyway? Then when you were proven right, your anger and their stupidity was righteous. It is not, especially if any of the consequences affect you. The political left today is extremely angry at those in America who voted for Donald Trump. It is because they believe that Donald Trump is a reincarnation of Adolf Hitler, who is currently in the process of destroying the Obama nation. Now imagine, if you will, how this anger will manifest when Trump trade wars and tax cuts are blamed for the next Great Depression. Here's the key to this whole thing. Today, the Congressional Budget Office announced that the growing U.S. debt deficit, today, The Congressional Budget Office announced that the growing U.S. budget deficit has pushed the public debt to 78% of the nation's gross domestic product. Meaning this, the nation has been bankrupt for a very long time, but now the overall bankruptcy, because when you have more liabilities than you have assets, by the definition of bankruptcy, financial definition of bankruptcy, you meet that criteria. Today, the Congressional Budget Office announced that the growing U.S. budget deficit has pushed public debt to 78% of the national gross domestic product. This, even as an investor has grown increasingly anxious over the rising interest rate, and bank stocks surpassed their record longest losing streak ever. Of course, that doubling the national debt under Obama or Federal Reserve six interest rate hikes since Trump's election will not be blamed. Make no mistake, there will be a financial crisis. Make no mistake, there will be a financial crash, and Trump will be the blame. You can take that to the bank, pun intended. It's only a matter of time. After the crash, the support for Trump and the political right will fade like the light of the day after the sunset, while the left will rise and crash over the land like the blue tsunami under the full moon after an ocean earthquake. All they have is hatred for Trump and his supporters now, and it is only going to grow worse. And they are everywhere. And I want to stop there. I want to say this for this reason. This is the proxy war. Same tactics that was used in World War I and World War II between the Russians and the Germans, England and France versus Germany, and then Russia versus Germany and England and France. This is an old tactic that is being used for a reason. Because they're right. There is going to be the greatest depression ever. And it's only a matter of time. And I would say that time is going to be in 3.5 years, as I put in this overall, in the name of this show. Because it is being choreographed for it to happen exactly on time. And the dividing factors of the Civil War is being set forth. Because there is no validity to any of this. This is all propaganda and rhetoric. And it's not just because it's written from a conservative right side. Because if you read the overall writings of the progressive left side, it is the exact same thing. It's just changed and conscripted differently. But it's the same sentiment.
Hey, Dave, question.
Yep.
Because I had it out with some so-called white liberals, some of them might have been Jewish. I don't know what nationality or ethnicity. Another one had an Italian name. But because I don't agree all the time of giving racists peace, giving criminals peace, let me back up so there's no misunderstanding. When you have someone who is putting people into slavery, and we don't have to call out no names and focus on any individual cause they know who they are, okay? And they're working both in the government, the state government, the federal government, and these corporations, as we was talking about last night on New Abolitionist Radio. Now, when it comes to, like Malcolm said, when it comes to violence in defense of liberty, that's no vice. Okay, because we're dealing with killers and murderers, and that's how they got what they got, and that's how they maintain with what they have. I believe in tactics and, you know, using the right tool for the right situation, But again, these people are murderers. They are killers. And I don't think anybody should tell me how to confront them. You know what I'm saying? Like I said to them white liberals.
Of course not.
When were you chased by a baseball team of white kids from the ages of 11 to 13, along with their adult coaches, all with baseball bats, looking to beat you to death, to Emmett Till you to death? That happened to me. How many times did the Klan burn across in your grandfather's yard and would have tried to burn down the house? How many times did that happen to them? So when you being faced with so much terrorism and open violence, it's just, in my opinion, well, even the UN, we mentioned the UN, UN Declaration of Human Rights actually represents any kind of resistance. It don't classify nonviolent or try to differentiate between nonviolent and violent resistance. It says it's a human right to resist. Mm-hmm. It's a human right to defend your life. Them conservatives call it stand your ground. And yes, I believe in stand your ground. You know what I'm saying? But we know how other people try mm-hmm. to manipulate the law, like Dave talks about. They not operating in the spirit of the law. They trying to work on the letter of the law. But, you know, like Antifa, man, I ain't got a problem with them running up to these terrorists and punching them in the mouth. It's violence. Yes, it is. But it's violence in defense of liberty. Because, like, who was it? Frederick Douglass said the limits of a tyrant is prescribed by the limits of the oppressed. And I'm paraphrasing him. In other words,
no, I know that, yeah,
how
I
much
know
you
phrase,
willing
yeah.
to put. How far is too far before you,
right.
you and like Frederick Douglass said, it's not only a moral fight, but it can be, it has to be a physical fight sometimes, man. You know? That's the way I feel, mm-hmm. Dave. I don't mean to be in my emotions, but I'm just passionate about.
And what I'm saying, and I totally agree with you, what I'm saying is that they've been at this for a very long time, and they're very experienced in this. And I'm saying that what's being done has been done before. And the outcome of what was from what they were doing then, the outcome from it was billions of people died. And billions of people will die further. Because what we're doing is that we're playing on their field. And we have to identify this agenda and this system for what it really is. Because what they're going to do, if we continue to work within its confines and not solve this problem, and now this solving this problem, you can't make someone do something. The great creator can't. If someone is threatening you with a bat and everything else, there's an appropriate response that you have to have. But one of the things that I'm saying is that this overall move to sovereignty is going to require us to actually attack and fight in an asymmetric way before the physical battle even starts. Because we have to be proactive and we have to be well aware that this disease, if you catch this disease, there is no cure for it. But if you can prevent yourself from catching this disease, you can eliminate it. Because this whole program has been well funded, it's been well proven to work. It's been proven to work from whatever side that you want to look at it from a conservative side or a liberal side. They are both equally murders. They are all
right,
serial political killers.
Right, right, dude.
They just do
we on the same
they just
page.
Do it by different means and methods.
Listen, Dave, before we go to break. So, just
oh, sure,
using
yeah.
some recent news as an example. So, Maxine Waters, all she said, if you see members of the Trump administration in a restaurant, and I put out calls for this same kind of behavior, Dr. King engaged in it, Malcolm didn't engage in it because the Nation of Islam wouldn't want him. But picket lines is confronting the system. Not getting up out your seat is confronting the system. It provokes confrontation. As you know, standing up for your human rights when somebody's abusing your rights, if you don't stand up for your rights, who gonna stand up for you? Not your oppressor. You can't depend on him. You know what I'm saying? So they're trying to portray it like she was calling for violence against people. And like I documented in my video, man, just recently, in recent years, people on the so-called right is making open calls of violence, calling for black people to be exterminated on mainstream media. Okay? So these threats have been made against black people, and I agree with you, because the Democratic leadership, the liberals, and don't let these conservatives confuse you about who they call them progressives, okay? My understanding of progressives is these young millennials, man, that's trying to do it a different way. And they're being branded as socialists. And, you know, again, we weaponize labels. And now you got people hating these people
weaponize labels.
Somebody called them
it.
A socialist. You know what I'm saying?
Scotty, let's go to the break and come back, because I want you to finish, because it's very, very important, and then
yeah,
to go
well,
from
let
there.
Me just close it like this, Dave. I don't want to keep talking, but by her saying you don't have to be civil towards uncivilized people that's committing grave crimes against humanity. That is, at the end of the day, what we're talking about. It's grave crimes against humanity, as you talked about over the past couple of days, man and his imaginary borders and all that kind of stuff and what have you. So you see one in a restaurant and you just simply letting that person know, as a so-called public servant, you know what? I really think you a piece of scum, and what you're doing is a grave violation, however you choose to word it. But to just not to say nothing when you have an opportunity, hey, that comes with the job. If you're going to be a so-called public official, you got to deal with the public. So that's all she's saying. But then for Democratic leadership, the liberals, to tell a member of their own party, oh, you wrong, and then try to act like she called for violence when she didn't, and just basically throw her under the bus. Now you, because what? You don't want her telling people to go outside the system and how the system do things. And yeah, in the system, we're real civil, and we work together to start wars that we ain't gonna fight. We, you know, impoverish people and create impoverished conditions, and we do all that in a civil manner, okay? So, yeah, they working together. Don't fall for that left-right paradigm. The system wants you to go within. So civil disobedience is going outside the system. Would you agree, Dave?
Without a doubt, because it has to be that, and we have to be cunning in this whole thing, and we have to be coarse. Listen, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. We're going to come right back to it, and this is what we need. Listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Hey, Dave, so let me close it out. This people talking about let these people eat in peace. Well, I'm thinking about the people, the human beings that's in these pens, that's in these cages, that's in the so-called isolation or the shoe.
Who's in solitary confinement
for standing up for human rights, and how they eating. I ain't worried about how some fascist cog in the system, if they can go out in public and have their meal in peace. Bump that.
Yeah, because that's minions. And see, and this is very important that we look at this system forward. Let me just, from Maxine Waters' standpoint, from what she said, this is how the system wants. This is what the system tries to invoke, and it tries to initiate and to aggravate and instigate this. It will take what Maxine Waters said, take it over to the right, take it to those individuals that have identified themselves as right, and say, see, this is why you got to get ready for this war, and you're going to have to kill them. And then what happens on the conservative side, and then they will even put in reasons that you need to say, yeah, I need to do that. They will actually, they do it at different degrees, but it's for the same objective. It's not them. It's really about them attacking you by you attacking yourself in a battle that you can't win. That you absolutely can't win. This is what they did in Germany. This is what they did in Russia. This is what they did in France. This is what they did before major wars, because they want to have a major war. Because I'm going to tell you, this is what they're going to do. They're going to see you elected a president that didn't come up in the overall political ranks, and see what that got you. And then they're going to move, and it's going to be so bad, and they're going to say, yeah, never again. We can only have people that have been from the political yoke and the political pedigree. But if we really look at it, who declared World War I? A government. Who declared World War II? Government. Who's going to be declaring World War III? Governments. Who fought those wars and who died? The people did. And we have to look at it from a basic standpoint, that they're duking us. And by them duking us, we are definitely going to have to fight. But before you fight, you have to have a strategical plan to win. Because what will be happening is that you'll be responding to punches. You'll be responding to blows. You'll be responding to hits. And you'll never be able to neutralize their strength of their punch, the strength of their hits, the strength of their wars, the strength of their weapons.
May I retort, Dave?
Yeah.
Again, I must keep stressing that Maxine Waters did not call for violence against conservatives or anybody on the right. She called for any of these public officials that you see in a public restaurant to confront them specifically about their policy of separating these little children that you said had to represent themselves in court at 3 years old, and they have been giving them attorneys. I mean, it's the 3-year-olds that's suing to get the parent out. Wow, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look at where we come.
Right.
Look at the path that we're on. So that's all she said. Those officials have names. It's a very limited group of people. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And again, mm-hmm. she ain't called for no violence. But to be real with you, Dave, you study American history, especially as it pertains to black people and white terrorism, when has this not gone on? This is always going on. The U.S. media has always told the peasant class of white people, and again, the media was controlled by the wealthy slaver class, but they used their newspapers of the day to demonize other human beings, whether we talking about Africans, Negroes, whatever label you want to give it, Aboriginals, Chinese, just everybody non-white. So they always have done this and raised mobs against us. As like I said, man, let some of these white liberals tell me about how their grandfather and his family had to fight off some white terrorists in the night who come in under the cover of the night. This stuff has always gone on against us. And Dave, the reason Tando is on the Black Talk Radio Network is to prepare, to spread that word of preparedness. But everybody ain't going to heed that word, Dave. And so we can't use, let's wait till we get prepared for the revolution before we participate in it, because we're not going to get to choose when the revolutions start. Revolutions could have been sparked by Ferguson, could have been sparked by any mass rebellion of the masses. Either we prepared or we ain't. There's always going to be some casualties, man, in war, So I just, you know, I've said that there's opportunity in that, though, as I've heard you talk about. I would look at another civil war, and that's what people talking about, and being the so-called people on the right been pushing it. But I would look at that as an opportunity to finally abolish slavery. You know what I'm saying? Who would turn down their opportunity? I will take my chances. You know what I'm saying? Because we can't assume because somebody don't look like us that they're going to be on the other side of the enemy lines. They might be right there in that foxhole with you. We can't really predict that because unless we behind the scenes are building those coalitions and what have you. But we can't go off of the mainstream media because that's what the mainstream media is doing. It's making you choose along the color lines instead of along the lines of justice and non-justice. So, hey, prepare. But don't use because, oh, I got to wait till I get, let me see, my ability to make my own bullets before I participate in this revolution to end slavery that's done popped off. You know what I'm saying? None of those people were prepared for when these war. Nobody's really truly prepared for war. So we, hey,
none of them. No one is for what.
But you got to call,
bro. I don't want anyone to think that I'm saying something other than I want us to look at things from
analytically. I get what you're saying. System. Military planning.
Yeah, not giving the system the power, because if we do, and it requires us to, and Scotty, I'm with you. The thing that's very, very important is that we have to look at what we want, where we want to go, what relationships we want to have, what collective prudence we want.
That's it for me. If my list is short.
And to realize that they're doing this for a reason, and the reason that they want this done is because it serves their purpose. They're not agendaizing. They're not making an agenda our success. They're bringing us freedom, which gives us no liberty. They're giving us rights. They're giving us no sovereignty. And they give us no standing other than being subjugated and enslaved. It doesn't give us autonomy. And in order for us to have an autonomous situation,
the corporation got to be dissolved, Dave. It's got to be dissolved. Ain't no other way to say it, bro.
It has to be dissolved.
That's
right.
My codified way of saying it.
Right, there's a way to dissolve it.
But Ross on the line just to let you know. But I'm going to mute myself, Dave. I appreciate the dialogue you sparking because that's all we do. It's just offering different perspectives. We know
it's
we
important.
Got each other back
right.
and whatnot.
It's important. So, I don't think, Scotty, that we're saying anything different. I think that we have the same objective in this whole thing. And it's very, very important. And I'm not telling anybody. When I tell people to prepare, I'm saying it because it's in your best interest to do it. And if you look at those individuals that weren't prepared, then they have to fall on the mercy of faith when we have to be in control. It's one of the things with sovereignty is that you move in your direction. You don't ask for a map that someone else writes. You don't ask for directions that someone else conscripts. And so this whole thing, and we'll go to Rise in a second, is very, very important that we know that they've been at this for a very long time, and they've developed some very keen uniqueness of destabilizing everything. And one of the things we are definitely going to have to fight, and the hardest fight comes before the physical blows even start. The hardest fight comes with us having the discipline but not to be coerced and to be influenced to our own demise. It's not to eat the poison and recognize it for what it is and say, nah. For years, all of this has happened and nothing has really changed. We're still getting ready to go into civil war. We're still about to go into a world war. Why are we still going in that same trend that we thought, or we thought we had the tactics and solutions to? Because we don't. We're going to get the same outcome. There's going to be great hate on the left side. I don't want to say the left side. There's going to be great hate on that side of the block, and there's going to be great hate on this side of the block. With that type of negative energy, you'll never be able to acknowledge and never be able to see what your common likeness in something is, so that you can establish an alliance. The elite have established an alliance because they will to rule, and they all adhere to that. That's why they're so efficient and so effective. And so I don't think it's, I'm going to go to Rising to say that we prepare because there are more individuals that are going to buy into the program that's being put out and propagandized out by the mass media. And we'd be surprised as who the provocateurs are if we really knew. Someone that I call them celebrity figureheads for a reason, meaning that they make no decision. They're just the ceremonial figurehead that gives the speech. That's what their overall job is. That's it. Because the ones that really do make decisions, the system has learned that it's better to keep those individuals anonymous so they can't be attacked. They can't be put on Front Street, divulged. You won't know who they are, because inside of their clandestine and secret operations, their ambushes are always hidden. I just don't want us to be prepared. I just want us to be prepared for the ambushes that are going to come. And there's an appropriate way to prepare. It's physical, it's mental, but it's first by the spiritual disciplines that this system has taught us to ignore. It wants us to ignore it for a reason. Because when we ignore our true power, it actually creates an environment where we're powerless. Don't want us to lose our influence, squander our talents and abilities. Very important. So let me go to Roz. Who's there? Welcome, Roz, to Tando Radio Show. What say you?
Peace to you, Brother Dave, and Nicole.
Peace.
And big up to Scotty, too. That was a great conversation. What you were just saying reminds me of two Jamaicans that said some powerful quotes that have resonated with me for a long time. Bob Marley talked about those who practice iniquity in secret. That speaks to those people remaining hidden. Biggie said, you know, real bad boys move in silence. You get stuff done. You don't let people know how you got it done or when you're going to do it. You just do it. And that's exactly what you were describing as far as the way that the system really works. Now, when you were talking about, with Scotty, you were talking about revolution. And, you know, the most accurate thing both of you said is that no one can ever really prepare for a revolution. You know, I remember it was a section in The Art of War where they talk about being prepared and paying attention to the spirit of the times. And if you can read the spirit of the times, which means you have to step back and take a more holistic view of the entire landscape of what's happening currently and how it relates to historical events, you'll be able to tell when a revolution is brewing. You may not know the exact minute, hour, or day it'll pop off, but you know that, hey, something's coming, and I need to start getting ready for what's coming. And it seems like with every passing week, we get more and more evidence of that. When you were describing the way the system worked, you were describing something that Jenna and I talk about almost regularly, but periodically, the Hegelian dialectic. You know, they create the problem, They watch how the people react. The people, when the problem becomes exacerbated, the people ask for a solution, and then they present the solution that they think is most beneficial to their agenda and something that the people will jump on. And it's usually something more oppressive as far as just the loss of their human rights or civil rights or just liberties that they had prior to asking for this help to solve the problem that's created by the people who are now solving the problem. So this is something that's been used going back thousands of years, because that's just the way the human animal functions. As far as us collectively, there's not enough people that really are paying attention to history and are able to put together current events with history. Dr. Clark used to always say history is a current event, and something you do right now can affect your life 5 minutes from now, 5 hours from now, 5 days from now, 5 years or 50 years from now. But whatever you do has a ripple effect in time and space that will make itself known in some form or fashion down the road. So, that is just very, very important. And lastly, when you talked about, and I remember when I saw this on my local news, they were talking about getting, I think they were putting together $2 million in order to get legal representation for these children that have been separated from their parents. And the way they said it, they didn't really get into details. I didn't understand the ages of these people, and that they were going to actually have children sitting in court who probably don't have just a basic understanding of things that's happening to them, and you're going to literally put them on trial and have them with a lawyer, and the lawyer's supposed to explain to a three-year-old, the motions and what's going on in court. Really, it reminds me of a time in European history when they used to put bugs on trial and actually execute them. They had people who invented guillotines for boll weevil, because the weevils were tearing up the crops, and they would actually put weevils on trial and behead them. They would put pigs on trial and behead them, dogs on trial and behead them. This was actually, you can research it online, it was happening in England and I think also in France too, but there was a couple of European countries where this sort of stuff that would sound ridiculous to us was actually happening. And the pig would have a lawyer, the boll weevil would have a lawyer and everything. And then once the animal lost the trial, they were beheaded. So, don't be surprised if you start seeing stuff like that happening here, if they can stoop to the level of putting three-year-olds on trial and having them with lawyers and expect them to really be active participants in trying to reunite with their parents. Just out of control. So with that, I'll mute myself, and great, great show, Brother Peace.
And from that, what's really happening is that the child is not being represented at all. The child is actually being, if you really look at it, the child is really being sold off and auctioned by the court. Because that child has no representation at all. That court is taking its position that it should never have in the first place with a child. So it's actually the court is representing itself and what it wants to do with that child.
Excuse me, Brother Dave.
Yes.
Pardon me for chiming in again and interjecting, but you made me think of something, because when you go to court, the person has to be mentally cognizant in order to be fit to even be in the court. So the person cannot be mentally ill, have cognition issues, inability to understand words.
Hey brothers, let me just issue a quick correction here. That child does have human rights. It does have constitutional rights, and it's not government-appointed lawyers that's representing those children that have successfully been reunited with their parents. But these are NGOs, nonprofits, and other grassroots organizations, and whether you feel, however a person feel about the ACLU or not, it is not part of the U.S. government. But no, these are the different types of law organizations, man, nonprofits and what have you, that have been litigating on these children's behalf. So I just want to make sure that was clear.
Thank you. I thought
Yeah, because the Constitution says It don't talk about citizens because, as you know, we said once before, we, you know, you don't have to be a citizen. All you got to do is be under the gun, meaning the jurisdiction of this corporation. Yeah. But the Constitution says persons. So a three-year-old is a person. And since that three-year-old is not capable of communicating in the court, so an agency, and it could be relatives of that child, gave their consent to have this lawyer represent that child. So, great. Yeah, that's what's going on specifically
because
the context
in which the news have presented it, and I don't really like the news here all the time because they do sometimes give vague information. They presented it in a way in which it would make you think that these were government appointed people.
No, they're not.
And then on top of that, I'm like, well, the child's parent should actually be the cognizant adult representing, you know, the child's side of the issue, of course, being represented by a lawyer.
The parent's locked up in the cage somewhere.
Exactly.
That's where they are.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Hey, Dave, real quick.
Hey, hold on. Let me say this. This is real quick, and then we'll go to the commercial break. See, what Scotty said is true. That's the celebrity projection of it all. But what's really happening behind closed doors is that this is how the overall slave trade and the pedophile trade is actually moving itself through this right under our noses. It doesn't matter. These organizations, it's just like the United States. I would never, ever, ever stand up for the United States now that I know what they were all about. When I was a child, I didn't know. But as you get older and you have life experience with things, let me tell you why. This is the key. There are major organizations that are now have moved into the overall child custody thing of it, and they give the perception, the key word is perception, that they're doing what's in the best interest of a child. They may do the best interest of one or two child, but you don't know how many children that they have.
Yeah,
and this
still
is how
2000.
This overall slave trade and this overall child trafficking is really, really happening because these pedophiles have strong influence in organizations.
Quick question, Dave.
So,
why do you yep. use the phrase going under your noses when for at least the past 6 years going into our seventh season, New Abolitionist Radio document these things every Wednesday night? Every Wednesday night for 6 years. So it's where are we getting this information? Because it's being reported on. You just have to get down to the local level. There are plenty of people who are citizen journalists, independent journalists, and working in the mainstream where they have to report. The facts are the facts. So this, in fact, has not been happening under nobody's noses. And if I tell you...
Scotty. Well, let me answer, Scotty. You said...
What do you mean under our noses? It's right there in my face. I see it.
Well, Scotty, I wasn't talking under your noses. I'm talking under the general population.
I don't even agree with that. They see it, Dave. They see the same reports that I see. They see the same sources that I see. They don't care. That's it. Lack of empathy.
Scotty.
They don't care, Dave.
Yes. And this is what I'm saying. This system puts organizations in place to give the perception that they mean meaningful good to people when they don't.
Yeah, like the halfway houses and the other, you know, we reported that on New Abolitionist Radio where this one Christian.
But I'm not talking about New Abolitionist Radio.
Dave, I'm trying to give you some information to tell you again, this is not under nobody's noses. It's being reported on. And not just on New Abolitionist Radio. We pull it from everywhere. So you got an organization, a nonprofit, so-called Christian organization, working with a judge, you know, a county court to work in a deferment, you know, first-time offender deferment program.
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with. Yeah.
Get them working in there, and they processing chickens in a dangerous and being treated like slaves and not being paid, not being treated like slaves. They were slaves. because they were ordered to be there in the court. So I know what you're talking about, but in term in terms of the story that was being shared, we're talking about these children that just came across the border with refugee status being represented by an attorney to reunite them with their parents. That story is not talking about what one of the elders called it, the nonprofit industrial complex that partners with the state government and what have you to make money off of perpetuating the system and helping them make like, oh yeah, we really trying to address the problem, but we not, you know. But again, man, all of this slavery being practiced, children going in, again, you right there in Texas, Dave. Right there with Dominique Mitchell, reporting out of Dallas that they beating them children. These are mostly black children, but if you only care about black children, but I'm sure they got a huge population of Hispanic children. So if you only care about Hispanic children, and probably a much smaller population, but she said she watched for 4 years at these guards, people that live in your community, maybe live next door to you, maybe on your bowling team, is beating these kids. And these are so-called American citizens. We ain't talking about some quote-unquote illegal immigrants. And then withholding their meals from them. What got to happen for us to liberate those children? What's the plan to liberate those children?
And see, here's what I'm saying, Scotty, is that there may be, we should never, ever, 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 I don't trust the judicial system at all with anybody's children. They may present a few issues for their case studies, and they'll tell you only to look here, but if you look into the dungeons and you look into the hidden places of what's really going on or some of the other things that are going on, it would shock many people. It may not shock you.
No, I just disagree with you on that, Dave. I say they don't care, Dave, because one thing about social media, as you said, it is a spying tool. And that means anybody that know how to use it can take the pulse or the spirit of the times, as Ross was talking about.
People don't care. Yeah.
So
I know.
So we Dave, long as I've been doing this, man, I'm telling you, millions of people have seen the content, millions upon millions, all over this planet have seen the context we put out through our Twitter profile, through our New Abolitionist Radio profile, through Black Talk Radio profile, on Facebook, on Twitter, on all other. Man, most people don't care. They don't care enough to even share the story, man.
Yeah, I know, Scotty, and that's what I'm talking. And I see what you're saying about under our noses, but there's some people that are totally ignorant to this, and I know you're absolutely right. And there's a biblical verse for that. My people perish for what? A lack of knowledge. But if you read that whole verse all the way through, it's because thou hast rejected knowledge.
I say some of them closing their damn eyes, man. They just closing their eyes. Or saying, I can't do nothing about it, so I might well just sit over here and just keep going to my 9-to-5 and playing along with the system.
Yes, Scotty, and I'm 100. That is so, so true. And what I was just representing, which you were representing, is representing exactly. That is so true. That is so true, and that's a major problem. And the thing that I was just saying is that, like you said, the people don't care. We put this information out all the time, and they don't care. And that's not our problem. Our thing is just to do what we were called to do, and that's just to bring it, and then let them decide what they're going to do, because they have a free will. My free will ends where someone else's begins. So, listen, got to get ready to go to a commercial break. You're listening to Tando Radio Show. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
Black Talk Monks Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Your host, Dave from L.A. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we got another caller in queue. Want to go to Brother Otis, 704-802-5056, 704-802-5056. I want to go to Otis right away, then get back into the show. Otis, welcome to Tando Radio Show. What say you, brother?
Hello, brothers. Hello.
What's going on?
Yeah, all I wanted to do was interject something right quick when you were saying about under our nose. Sometimes we get caught up in just the nomenclature. I'm going to give you a perfect example of what you're saying, something going by under our nose. Prominent charity, a head of a prominent charity campaigns against child abuse, is arrested for trying to arrange to rape multiple children as young as 2 years old. That just came out about a day ago. This guy was a celebrity and was going around the world with other celebrities supposedly advocating for children's rights. So I put that out there because I understand Scotty advocating passionately for his understanding of it, but that's a perfect example of it going on under our nose. The guy just happened to get caught by one of the task force. My other point is when you brought up the fact that they put children before the court, that goes back to something else you always bring up in your conversation. The spirit of the law versus the letter of the law. Anybody in their right mind knows a 3-year-old does not have the mental capacity to represent itself. So what does that mean? Most of us know that the court appoints somebody to represent them from a legal point of view. So what's that lead to? Somewhere along the line, that kid is stuck in an orphanage or some kind of temporary care facility. And who usually goes to work in most of those places with no supervision? So I understand when you say it's going on under our nose. That's all I wanted to do is put some context to it.
Yeah, and you know what Scotty was saying is that, and you're absolutely right, Otis. And what I was understanding Scotty was saying is that we talk about this all the time. We've been reporting on it.
Dave line just dropped off.
Dave?
Yeah, Dave line just dropped off. Let me try to get him back on. Yeah, I understand that under your nose is, yeah, that dude was flying around with what's her name that was married to Brad Plant, Angelina Jolie, and he started an organization. He go to Columbia University, started an organization against, you know, sexual violence. That's what he called it, sexual violence. He got caught in the FBI sting operation in possession of child pornography and trying to set up a date with a 3-year-old and what have you. But Otis, to clarify what I'm saying, what happened in a specific instance with the child? Look, the attorney, yes, the court does have to approve the appointing, but that attorney is supposed to represent what's in the best interest of the child. Well, I don't think it take a genius to figure out the best interest of that child is to be reunited with his mother or his parent. So that's what that child wants. That's why that child's crying. So we should be able to interpret that nonverbal, well, it's actually verbal, but that audible communication that I want my mother. And so the attorney understands that this child need to work. And yeah, so they've been some
Scotty,
successful
my
cases.
My point is that attorney is not the one who's trusted with the care of that child.
They're no, these children weren't in care alone.
So that's third party this in there
this is
that
all happening
really
within 20 days.
Keep an eye on.
Yeah, this is all that's happening in within 20 days, but you're right. The GEO Group has, as we've been reporting on and talked about, Max said that they were setting up, trying to get child care licenses, you know, these private prison operators to keep the children. And then, so all of that is all part of the same thing, is what I'm saying. But somebody, I'm glad somebody's going in that courtroom and suing to get this person reunited with their child. It's that simple, man. I'm not in a position to do that. So, you know, unless somebody got a plan on how to reunite all these children, refugee, in the prison, child detainment system, our children, man, we need to talk about that so we can move on that in silence. Brother Ross, did you have a comment? I don't know where Dave's at, man. Trying to get him back on.
Okay, I hope he. I don't think he was.
He just dropped off.
Oh, he dropped off. Okay, cause that's
his line dropped. You know, he had them issues with his cell phone.
Yeah. I thought he actually muted himself or something because I know he was in the middle of talking. He might not even know he dropped off. I remember that happened to him too, where he dropped off and he was like, "I was talking for a long time before I realized that I dropped off." So hopefully we get him back. I just think that the way that everything is designed, is designed to distract you from paying attention to things that should be important. And it's to the point where we're so anesthetized, and you know, it's been documented that our use of cell phones and addiction to cell phones has reduced our human capacity for empathy, to be able to just interpret the emotions of another human being. And I see that with a lot of young people. My son and I talk about this all the time, and we've talked about that since he was a child. The fact that that he has people that he knew in high school who didn't know how to have an actual conversation. The only thing they knew how to do was text. And even if he tried to reach out and make a phone call to like have a verbal conversation, they would hang up on him and text. And he would have to scream on them to get them to actually answer the phone to ask a question or deal with the situation that was just not feasible to be texting for half the afternoon. And it's just, we're conditioned this way. So I agree with you too when you were saying that things are happening. And oh, no problem. And I was just saying, I agree with you when you say things are happening in front of us and a lot of us don't care because we're being conditioned, and everything that they're putting on us, all these new different technology and all this stuff, is to further distract us and to further anesthetize us from being able to empathize with other human beings. With that, I'll mute myself and let Dave continue.
You know what? I don't know where I got cut off. Did you hear me when it came back out of after Otis was speaking? I don't know. You heard me right.
You dropped out. You were in the middle of speaking and it dropped right out. And I asked, you know, did you mute yourself? And then we lost you.
Yeah, no, it just, my phone totally hung up and then Scotty called me back on it. Sorry about that. And so, Roz, what I heard you were saying, yeah, and I'm going to just brief summarize. What was really was saying is, and Otis had talked about, and it's so true, but what Scotty was saying, and I got it, is that Scotty is saying that people don't care. And then, Roz, you had picked up on that, and Scotty's absolutely right. People don't care. And they don't care until it affects them. And I'm telling you, what the system is putting into place is going to affect so many people. And for us as that do care, we can see some of these things and we realize that, oh shoot, this is going to expand to adversely affect everybody. I better have an appropriate solution from that, or have at least have an idea of which direction we should go, because Scotty was right. People don't care. New Abolitionist Radio, everybody on here, we've been putting this information out for a very, very, very long time. Why isn't this platform much, much bigger? It's because we don't entertain. We don't do the things that's comfortable. We don't do those things. We it's actually something about where it causes us to ask questions. And not only ask questions, we're responsible for what we know. People don't want that responsibility. They want to be entertained. And so what Otis was saying and what Scotty was saying was absolutely right. And we all know that it's just going to be a couple of months we never have to predict the future when we know trends. We can read the signs. A couple of months from now, we're going to hear about not even a quarter of these children or a significant portion of these children are missing. They don't know where they are. They'll admit, see, because what they're going to do is they're desensitizing you to more and more, and it's going to continue to go on. So, but before we get out of here, I want to really quickly, I want to, there was a survey, make you aware of this, and all of these mass shootings is all a setup. It's a real setup. And let me show you, and this is really one of a perfect example of how all of this is a setup, because this is all a part of the proxy wars and the clandestine operations that is being used into subjugation. And we need to know these things. In my opinion, here's what it is. The United States, there's a total of the U.S. people in what's called the United States of America now control or own legally about 40% of the world's 1 billion guns. Of the 1 billion guns that are recognized legally in the world, 1 billion, 40% of them are here in the United States as registered gun owners. And I put the, I actually put the numbers up in Tando Radio Show and in the chat room. Here's what it is. It's 40%. So 40% of that means of 1 billion means that there has to be 400 million gun owners in the United States. And guess what? There is. There was a, I put up the chart. And the chart says, and the table says, the United States has 393,000 guns. The next second, number two, is India, where it has only 71. So the U.S. exceeds them by four times. The U.S. has 400 million guns of 1 billion guns in the world. India has 71 million guns. Why is that so important? What's the significance of that? Here's the significance of that. In mass shootings, at most, there's never been more than 100 people killed. It's been never been more than that. But you got 400 million guns. If you do the overall math and the numbers of that, you don't have a gun problem. Somebody's using that as a propaganda method and tool to get what they want. So basically, with the amount of guns, the saturation of guns that are in this country at 400 million, if there was really a gun problem, you would have multiple thousands upon thousands of mass shootings. But it's an operation that's being done. So they magnify through propaganda what they want people to think. What is true in this country is that there is a cycle of violence problem. And in those numbers, here's the staggering part of that. In those numbers, civilians, the global firearm ownership is 857 million civilians that have guns in the world. Law enforcement has 22 million. The military has 130 million. 857 million for the civilians, 133 million for the military. And I'd ask you, we have more of a militarization problem than we have a private gun ownership problem, because the military killed multiples of people. That is a major problem. They're killing the billions. And they don't even have a third, or excuse me, they don't even have a quarter of how many registered guns that there are. But the military kills billions of people and have killed billions of people and will continue to kill billions of people. See, this is the system propagandizing this agenda in a very sly, asymmetrical way that we buy into a program of our own demise. If we really had a gun problem, it would be reversed. The civilians would have the overall casualty rate that the military has, but it would have to be even more, because it would be quadruple of what the military has, because they have quadruple the numbers. The numbers don't lie. People that put the data in do. So what am I saying? The mass shootings that you've been seeing on TV, there is no such thing as mass shootings. They are propagated events that are either individuals that are crazy, or they're being actually events that are being agendized for a political gain. As always, is global governing terrorism against the people for a political gain. What's the political gain? The political game is that they want to be relevant and tell you what to think at all times and what to do. If we had a gun problem, we would have what they have on the and what they so what they put out in their movies, such as The Purge, we would have that going on all the time. But that again is a violence problem. A culture of violence. So who's the real threat? I'm going to tell you who the real threat is. The real threat is the overall usual suspects. It's the one with very few that kill very many. So when they talk about this civil war, because they plan on invoking that civil war, and the overall gun is just the gun debate and the gun control issue is just one of the tools that they're using to perpetuate this whole thing forward through. And these numbers don't even project the illegal guns on both sides, on all sides, from civilian law enforcement and the military, because they all have those. But even with those numbers, you can't argue with 837 million guns. And you can go over the list of the mass shootings, and it won't even eclipse over, you take a 10-year period, over a 10-year period, it won't even go into the thousands. It won't even go into the hundreds, probably. It would probably just touch 100 people. So we're being set up, y'all. So listen, I just want to say thank you all for listening to Tando Radio Show. Much love, much respect. It's never goodbye. Great, great show. Scotty, great, great show. Mel, thank you. Great, great show. Otis. And listen, before you ask for a fortune, make sure to give one away. Much love, much respect. We'll talk to you later. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the U.S. wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. slicing cake.
Say the U.S. wants to avoid.